Governor Tony Evers gave his annual State of the State address virtually last night, dedicating a speech to the thousands of lives lost in Wisconsin to COVID-19 and highlighting policy goals. The governor announced he was calling a special session for the legislature to fix the state's decades-old system for processing unemployment claims. His administration blames the system for the backlog that kept some waiting months to get their checks.
The system isn't new, and these problems aren't either. And Republicans and Democrats alike are to blame.
Our next guest joins us to break down the speech and the Republican response delivered by Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you catch the governor's address and the Republican response? What did you think? Do you think there are areas where Republicans and Democrats could work together on policy issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Always happy to be here, Rob.
Well, Phil, we've got a Democratic governor, a Republican legislature. They have not played well with each other on a variety of issues. Did you hear anything last night that says, hey, maybe there's some common ground where they can work together?
You know, I think the one thing that I heard in Governor Evers' speech that I think there probably would be some kind of common ground would likely be on the issue of rural broadband. Or broadband access in general. You'll notice there are certain issues that are brought up in the State of the State that are immediately talked about in the response, and some that are sort of glossed over are not talked about. The ones that are sort of glossed over, you can assume are either non-starters for the other side or generally points of agreement. And so if you look at the main issues that Governor Evers talked about, I think the one that stood out to me is likely that increase in broadband access.
We're going to hear from a couple state lawmakers over the course of this conversation, and let's bring one on now. Assembly Representative Jim Steinecke joins us, Republican representing Wisconsin's 5th Assembly District in the Kaukauna area, just north of Appleton. He is the Assembly Majority Leader. Representative Steinecke, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Well, your response in general to what we heard from the governor and from the Assembly Speaker last night.
Yeah, I mean, the governor's speech was highly polished campaign commercial from what we could tell from the chambers with him not being there. I think the disappointing thing is he's been governor for 2 years and he's taken no responsibility for what's happened with unemployment. And in fact, the special session call is more of a deflection than anything, because we know, and our legislative fiscal bureau confirmed today, that he has every authority to do what he is proposing in this legislation all by himself with no legislative approval, and he has the money necessary to do it as well. So he doesn't even need a special session. He's calling a special session in order to deflect blame from the administration's lack of an ability to handle this crisis and their poor response to it. It's just unfortunate.
What would you have liked to have seen from the governor early next year as those unemployment claims mounted during COVID-19?
We gave them a bunch of different ideas on how to fast-track the claims, from expanding call center hours to moving more employees over faster, a whole host of different things that could have increased the response time for these claims. I mean, it is unconscionable that tens of thousands of Wisconsinites were waiting weeks and months for help from the state government. And there was very little sense of urgency coming from the administration. And only now, a year later, are they proposing changes that they could have done all by themselves all along.
Now, the governor and others have pointed to the old system, said Republicans who controlled state government for a long time could have fixed it, could have removed at least some of the roadblocks that caused trouble early on. What do you say to that?
Yeah, again, it's more deflection. Other states use the same type of system that we have and didn't have near the issues that we had. I mean, if everything was going along swimmingly and there was no fault within the agency or the administration, why did he fire Caleb Frostman, who was heading up the agency? There was obviously problems there that they have not been willing to admit, and now this is more deflection. If he wants to do this, why wait for legislative approval? He can do it today.
Vaccine rollout has been, it's been a problem nationwide, some states worse than others. What would you have wanted to hear from the governor about vaccine plans here in the state for COVID-19?
what the actual plan is, because as far as we can tell, local health officials have been extremely frustrated with the administration over the course of the last 9 months, because they're often the last to know what's going on, often hearing what the administration is doing, not from the administration itself, but rather from the media reports when the administration announces something. So it's got to get better, because we can't go down from here. We're 10th out of 12 Midwestern states in vaccine rollout efficiency. So we don't have we can't drop much further. Hopefully, and we've asked the governor to be part of this process. Tommy Thompson at the UW system has also said that he could help, but we have been rebuffed at every opportunity that we have presented it, some help.
One bit of criticism pointed at the legislature and Republicans in it is you did a big package in March and not much since on COVID. What would you say to people who say, hey, you should have been back in session doing more?
Yeah, we did. Most people don't understand, and I can understand why they don't. The bill back in spring last year had dozens and dozens of items that the administration requested. The administration had unfettered access to over $2 billion from the federal government with no legislative oversight. So they had all the tools in the toolbox over the course of those months of 2020. In fact, the governor never asked us to come back and pass any specific policy item that he said he needed. So that's the thing that we were struggling with. Now, hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to come together around a new COVID bill that will deliver some relief that's much needed. But I think it's a misnomer to say that, we didn't do enough last year.
And briefly, before I let you get back to your day, broadband, do you see that as a point where you and legislative Democrats and the governor can maybe work together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a priority of ours dating back to when Scott Walker was governor. Obviously, Governor Evers put some money into it, and we approved of that in the budget. And I don't see any reason why we would go backwards. It is a critical part of today's society and something that people need access to. And in too many cases, the private sector just can't do it on their own because the return on investment isn't there. So government needs to step in and help.
Representative Steinicke, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Representative Jim Steinicke, Republican from a district, the 5th District, just north of Appleton, Assembly Majority Leader. Phil Chen is still with us, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Beloit College. The unemployment issue last year, things didn't go well in Wisconsin. Phil, what do you make of the back and forth? The governor saying, hey, it's our antiquated system. Republican saying, hey, it's our governor.
You know, I think this is what you might expect when a major governmental system largely fails to do what it's supposed to do. And in all likelihood, it probably falls somewhere in the middle. This isn't my expertise isn't in the administration of unemployment systems. But if you look at the nonpartisan reports that have been put out, the blame probably rests in a number of places. It is clearly an outdated system. But there may have been things that could have been done earlier from the Evers administration as well. So, I think you're going to see this kind of back and forth between the, Republicans and Democrats on whose fault it is or what we need to do. But ultimately, I think the likelihood that something will change is still very high. It may not happen in the, through the special session. But as Representative Steinicke was saying, it's possible that Governor Evers already has the authority to make some of those changes. So we're likely to see changes in the unemployment system. It's just a question of, where people will attribute blame or if it will be sort of in the weeds enough that people won't really understand whose fault it is.
I should say we'll also hear from a Democratic lawmaker in just a few minutes. Phil, this is a big year. It's our budget year in Wisconsin. That's a big deal, probably mm-hmm. the biggest thing the legislature does. Also, redistricting, how we draw our lines for the state legislature, another COVID-19 relief thing or effort, maybe fixing unemployment. Do you see our government being functional enough in a divided government situation to tackle those problems?
It's one of those things where it's hard to see a bipartisan agreement on something like unemployment insurance, but that we are likely to see some kind of movement on that. I don't see really any means of compromise on something like redistricting. I think that almost certainly will go to the courts. I just don't see, we haven't seen enough support among Republicans for, the processes that Governor Evers put in place. And I don't see Governor Evers ever acquiescing to, you know, a similarly drawn legislative map. So that I don't think there'll be any chance of a real compromise. But I do think that something like a second coronavirus relief bill, of course, you would think that Republicans and Democrats, the governor, the legislature want to find some kind of common ground. And so I think we may see them working together on something like that. Issues will kind of maybe be dealt with in more singular fashion rather than kind of one cohesive package.
We're talking to political scientist Phil Chen from Beloit College. We're looking at speeches made by Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss last night. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you put the blame for the unemployment insurance problems in Wisconsin last year during the COVID-19 outbreaks, early and middle days? Are you frustrated by state government and its ability or lack of same to work together on key issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation here from another lawmaker coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the State of the State address from the governor last night and the Republican response. Phil Chen stays with us from Beloit College. You can share your reactions at 800-642-1234. We heard from a Republican lawmaker earlier in the conversation. Earlier today, I also talked to Janet Buley, Democratic state senator who represents a big chunk of northwestern Wisconsin, including Superior, Ashland, and Rice Lake. She's the Senate Minority Leader. Senator Buley, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
First of all, your overall reactions to what you heard last night from the governor and from the assembly leader.
Well, first of all, you know, it was a different setup. No audience for the governor, and Representative Voss did have people in his room. But I would say overall, I got a sense from the governor of a new optimism. He seemed very dedicated, very organized, had very concrete things to talk about. And I'm very, very pleased with the things he had to say. This, of course, in just hours after the Senate passed the COVID bill. I was very, very pleased with the progress that was made by that and in getting it passed. Now, of course, it has to go to the Assembly. So all in all, I was very pleased with the governor.
Getting into a couple particular issues, the governor wants lawmakers to meet next week to work on fixing the state's unemployment insurance system. We all know about the problems this year. He blamed outdated technology. Republicans and others have said, well, the governor did not take enough leadership on this issue. What are your thoughts on the unemployment system and how it functioned in 2020?
Well, I think that, you know, so many different examinations of DWD have taken place. I'm on the audit committee. It had a full and complete audit, and some recommendations were made, but it did show that we are up to date, or at that time we were. I do know that the system is outdated, horribly so. What kind of personnel changes or different things could be made is all in the rearview mirror, because, of course, in the time of COVID, we can never say so many things were up in the air. So many things were totally unpredicted. I am very glad now, though, that we are going to start from scratch and give the DWD the hardware, the software, the platform that it is going to need in order to meet the needs of the people in Wisconsin who are unemployed.
Another critique of the governor from Republicans and against some others is a lack of a sense of urgency and of transparency, both with unemployment and now with vaccine distribution. Are there things you'd like to see from the Evers administration that we haven't seen so far?
Well, I know that the two things that you've mentioned, Evers was completely transparent about unemployment. There was a graphic about, you know, what the numbers were posted all the time. And when it comes to the vaccine, it is pretty much because the governors don't know across the country. The numbers of vaccine that are supposed to be delivered either don't come, or when they do come, they're in inadequate amounts. I know that the states are responsible for the distribution, but if you can't fix a supply chain error above you, it affects everybody beneath it. And the supply chain break comes from Washington, D.C.
The governor also talked about broadband access, an important issue I know in your part of the state and many others. Do you see this as a problem that both sides of the aisle could actually work together on?
I do, and I do because I think that COVID has completely exposed just how critical access to the internet is, not only for things like access to telemedicine or filing for unemployment, but basic information. People use the internet. Imagine, if you will, that you couldn't use Google ever. You know, we use the internet as at providing information and education. Countless commercials, notices in the paper all say, go to www. And then fill in the blank, and that's where you're going to get your information. And if you don't have the internet, all of these resources you cannot access. And so I think that, and not to mention the abject loneliness of people who don't have Zoom or any of the ability to work from home or visit from home. It's an unequal state when it comes to what I think is basic infrastructure. We are now at the point that broadband is infrastructure, just like roads and electricity.
Senator Buley, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'll come back anytime.
State Senator Janet Buley, Democrat. We're talking about the State of the State address last night and the Republican response. Phil Chen stays with us from Beloit College. Let's bring on a caller. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hello.
Hey, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. When you're faced with a crisis we have been in 2020 with COVID, both to our health and our economy, and I'm, by the way, I'm an independent voter, so this isn't partisan, but my wife's a critical care nurse, and I know how bad this has been. I hear about it every day when she comes home from work. When you're in a crisis, you've got to work together, and I've been
John, you're breaking up. I think we take your point, Phil. John, disappointed that there was a lack of cooperation, a lack of coming together during a crisis.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly common, I think, feeling, is that they're really, at both the national level, at many of the state levels, there just simply wasn't a lot of common ground to be found in how to address this crisis. That being said, I think a lot of it comes down to the way that elites in both parties presented information, who perhaps thought the pandemic early on was a very important problem, who sort of downplayed it, and how that trickled down into their voters. And so I think that while I take the point, and I think a lot of people are disappointed, a lot of it does sort of trace back to how the pandemic was originally talked about and originally framed, and even continuing from there.
Do you see, Phil, any signs that we're getting through that polarization in response to COVID-19, seeing a shared response? And I shouldn't over-exaggerate. A lot of people are wearing masks. A lot of people are, you know, taking this thing seriously. But do you see more common ground emerging now or in the near future?
You know, I think that the vaccine in some ways may, you know, fingers crossed, lead to a little bit more of a discussion around some of this, because there is a, sort of an end point in sight, right? I think that people were really worried. You know, we saw a lot of reactions from Republicans saying, well, you can't just shut down the economy. And then Democrats saying, well, you can't solve the coronavirus pandemic without some of these more restrictive measures. Now that there's kind of a sort of tentative endpoint in sight, you might see a little bit more agreement. Again, though, a lot of that is a lot of the beliefs are already baked in. A lot of the opinions are set based on prior beliefs. And so it does make it very difficult, but you might see a little bit more of that now that we have, you know, the summer to look forward to, saying June, July, when we're hearing maybe there will be sort of widespread vaccinations.
Phil, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Phil Chen is assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. We talked to him about the takeaways from Governor Tony Evers' state of the state address last night, as well as the Republican response from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.